Okay, move the little sheepies and the piggies. We're just going to move them. All right. I don't know. Did I introduce myself? I forgot that. I actually got nervous. Like, I looked at everybody when we started. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, anyway, my name is Pastor Dee. I am the senior pastor here. And you may stand up. This is Pastor Sherry Green. She pastors here. And we've got elders here, Lane and Stacy, and a whole team. And it takes a team to do what happened here tonight, let me tell you. Ooh. So this is really different. I have never done this with kids in the service. Okay, but I have four adult children, and your child can't do anything that my children didn't do. All right? Four times. So it's okay, all right? But if I get lost because of, you know, whatever happens when you have kids, I'm just going to look at my notes, and we'll be okay, all right? So it's okay. That's all right. So this is different. Here we go. So really, I do love Christmas when I get to this point. I really love Christmas. And, you know, if you have kids or grandkids, excitement. They are expecting and hoping, right? Okay? Why? Because they are expecting and hoping what they asked for is going to be here in a couple hours, right? So they've got two things going, expecting and hoping. So I really thought about, you know, how do I share a different message for Christmas? And there's nothing new, really. But I really kept thinking about hope. So I want to talk about hope, because Christmas really is a time of hope. It really is a time of hope. Tell your neighbor, hope, all right? Just keep it, make sure they're awake with me, all right? All right. So what is hope? Hope is looking forward to something that's better. I'm going for the better, all right? So hope is looking forward to something that's better. And you might say, what do you mean looking forward to something's better? Well, look at it this way. Sometimes we have some things that are going on right now in the present, and they're just kind of miserable. Anybody, don't raise your hand, but anybody have some miserable stuff going on right now in the present? Some things that just aren't really fun. So when that happens, as time passes, you can kind of forget to hope, and you can even lose hope. And maybe you have been the month of December. Just rip that one off the calendar. It is jam-packed. And Pastor D, you want to talk about hope, okay? Or maybe you're thinking about hope and you're like, you know, the events that have gone on in the world in the last couple years, I have lost hope. Or maybe you've lost hope because of being disappointed. But I'm telling you what, that is not a good place to be. Matter of fact, Proverbs 13:12 says, when hope is crushed, your heart is crushed. And that's definitely not a good place to be. So I'm going to tell some of the Christmas story. I didn't know y'all were doing all this. You know, I should have stayed up for all the practice, okay? But that's okay. But I want to talk about hope. But I want to talk about hope that was born, all right? And maybe you're here and you've just lost hope. My prayer for you is that you will find hope again tonight. Amen? Now, when you think about hope, sometimes hope shows up in the most unexpected and unlikely places, such as our Christmas story, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Okay, hope was born in a very unexpected and unlikely place. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in the village of Galilee to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Wow, that's good. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused, Mary tried to think what this angel could mean. Okay, so put the brakes on for a minute, all right? You're just doing your everyday thing. It's, you know, I'm chugging down my bowl of Cheerios, and this angel comes in and starts talking to me. I am going to spit my Cheerios out, right, and go, what is going on here, all righty? So confused, right, and disturbed. I get it, all right? Now, when you think that Mary was living in Nazareth in the village of Galilee, that's not the place that's kind of hip and known for all their culture and all their fame. If you really want to look for that, you would have gone to Jerusalem. So she's going, what? you're talking to me, you know, in Nazareth, all right? So it doesn't end there. He goes on to say, don't be afraid. All right, so this is the angel that's saying, Mary, don't be afraid, all right? So verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. And you know, when I think of hope, I think we all are hoping that we will have favor with God. At least, right? I want to have favor with God. All right? And here's the most amazing thing about this. God has given us all the opportunity to have favor with him. All right? But this particular place, this one right here, this was talking to Mary, the one person. All right? And she was going to be the one that would bring Jesus onto the planet. So verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him his throne of his ancestors David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Man, I love that. His kingdom hasn't ended. So here we have Jesus that comes, starts out as a baby. He's on the planet for 33 years. He dies for us, and then he's raised from the dead, and he's seated up in heaven, and he's seated in heaven, and he's seated in heaven. But guess what? The kingdom is still reigning. It's still reigning for us. It just didn't end. I love that. Now, the other part about this, this was a promise, not just for Mary. This was a promise of hope for all the people of Israel who were hoping for something better. Because what is hope? Hope is, you know, believing that something's going to get better, all right? So so the people of God, the Israelites, the Jewish people, if they were still hoping, some of them were kind of patient about hoping. Others were just losing hope. All right, waiting and waiting and waiting. So I have a question for you. Have you ever lost hope? Yeah. Right? Yeah, somebody, yeah. So I have, but have you ever lost hope where you're like, that's it? I quit? I can't take it anymore? I'm not, you know, this is never going to happen? Anybody ever be at that place? Okay, well, I can relate to that. And we live in a time and a world and a culture where they're like, just bag it, lose it, be done with it. But here's the thing. God wants to give you hope. So you can keep going, all right? So jump down to verse 34. I'm flipping my pages here, all right? Mary asked the angel, how can this happen, all right? I'm a virgin, okay? That's a good question. That is a really good question, all right? And the angel replied, ready, verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born, Jesus, will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. In verse 37, and the word of a word of God will never fail. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left. Guys, I think about that prayer, and, you know, that should be one of our prayers. That should be, Lord, what you have said about my life or the things you've planted in my life, Lord, I want this to be because you've spoken it, all right? Sometimes I'm not really doing that right away, but that's a good place to aim, right? Amen? All right, so maybe you're here and you don't see a reason for hoping, all right? I read this not too long. Did you know that human beings can live 40 days without food and 5 days without water and 4 minutes without air? But let me tell you this, you cannot live long without hope in your life, right? You can't live long without hope in your life. You need to have hope. And Jesus is the only one that I have found that I know that will give you hope. Amen? All right, so we just read that Mary has this promise, right? She's going to have this miraculous virgin birth. And then jump over to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed a census would be taken throughout Rome. Verse 3, all returned to their ancestor towns and registered for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, and now who is pregnant. So here we have Mary. She's been given this promise, right? And but the thing is, she was given this promise, but it's just the beginning of a process. Because how many months does it take to have a baby? 9 months. There's a process, right? It didn't happen overnight. So, guys, listen, there's a process so often to the promise. And there's a lot of promises in your Bible, but there's a process a lot of times to the promise, all right? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm usually like, okay, thanks for the promise. Forget the process. I want it yesterday, right? Anybody want it yesterday? But a lot of times it doesn't happen that way, all right? And I found this out. Sometimes there's sort of a detour. Now, where I live, they're redoing this bridge. And they say it's going to take, I don't even want to tell you, all right? So they're redoing this bridge, and they've got big detour signs, okay, over here, so I can't come this way to get to my house, and over here, and over here. And so I've got to take a different route, and it's taken me longer to get to my home, all right? But I do eventually get to my home, all righty? So I don't know about you, but I found this in life, so I have a promise from God. And there's so many promises of God, even for today, right? Okay, I have this promise from God, and then I've got this detour. Number one, ready? I do not like this. Number two, I don't like how I feel, okay? But in the journey that I'm taking with the detour, it kind of feels a little frustrated. But here's the thing, you know, I found that when I have hope, I will not quit, and I will get home. I will get the promise. So that is why hope is so important, all right? So turn we're Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. We're cruising through this story. Probably should have had the kids act this out. Wow, Pastor, oh, gosh, they were so cute. All right, verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there is no longer room. Couple of things we can look at here. Number one, hope grows. Hope grows, right? So Jesus was born a baby, but you know, when I think about Jesus, I don't really think of the baby. I think of the adult. I think of Jesus who went to the cross for me, all right? So hope grows. And you know, when we see, where's my expectant mama? When we see an expectant mama, what do we say? What are you expecting? What are you hoping for, right? All right? So there's this hoping and expecting that goes on. Just like kids, they are expecting and they are hoping, all right? Now, here's what I do know. If you lose hope, you will start thinking, there's no way. I'm hopeless, all right? If you lose hope for the promise, and that you will start thinking. And as my one friend says, that's a recipe for disaster, okay? And it's really, hopelessness is a recipe for depression, because I've seen it, right? So we don't want to lose hope. Now, and I was thinking about Mary. They don't really say what all the things that Mary was thinking. They just say she pondered these things for a long time, all right? But I tell you what, I really don't think that she lost hope in the promise. I don't believe that. I believe she held on to the promise in the midst of the detour and the journey and all of that. So here's the second thing we found out, right? Jesus wasn't born in the Holiday Inn, okay? He was born where animals stay, all right? And I'm sorry, but that is not an Instagram picture moment, right? Right? Just picture the worst cat litter box that hasn't been cleaned. You know, that's what goes through my mind, right? So he's born in this not great setting. So here's the thing that makes me think of. Maybe you came from the wrong side of the track. You know, people say, oh, you know. And people start looking at you differently, like, oh, that, you know, that, oh, man, or her. Yeah, right, okay? Well, here's the thing. You can't look at what people look at you. You can't be bothered by what people look at you. The only thing you can do is, hey, what does God say about you? And the last time I read my Bible, he says, you are beautiful, you are welcome, you are loved, you're holy, you're blameless, you're just amazing and fantastic. and a whole bunch more, all right? So you have to see yourself the way God sees you. So one, we're going to put our hope in God. Two, where our hope is going to grow, okay? And it grows along the journey. And sometimes that journey is long, and sometimes that journey is not fun. But I want you to know, while we're in this journey and these detours, God is always working in this growing season. He's just working in you, and he's going to bring you through. All right, let's jump down to verse 8. Praise the Lord. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. I don't know about you, but listen, I'd be terrified. Right? Okay, I'm just minding my own business with my sheep, and all right? All righty, so, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to people. I don't know about you, but the planet we're living on, they need some good news. They need good news, all right? All right? Verse 11. Ooh, flipping my pages. Here we go. And here's the good news. You ready? The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. Wow. Okay, so this is what they've been waiting for. This is what they've been hoping for. And it's here. Hope has arrived. Hope has arrived, all right? In verse 12, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find him, the baby wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast hope of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Wow, I love that part. So, when I think about peace, I'd like to think it means nothing bad is happening. But really, I found out that's not what peace is. Peace means God's with you. And in my life, and so many of you will say, you know, in hard times and bad times when life just got really hard, how did I make it through it? How did you make it through it? It's because you knew that Jesus was with you and he would help you. And that brings peace. Everybody go, peace. Come on, kids. Peace, right. Praise God. All righty. Verse 15. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, hey, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Praise God. Wow. The promise. Guys, that was the promise. All right, and then it goes on to say, I think I'm just going to skip some of reading this here. So the shepherds went and told everybody, and it says that the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And I thought about it, and I said, it says, heaven and earth were glorifying God. Heaven, all those angels were glorifying God, and these shepherds. It just wasn't the shepherds. Oh, this was so wonderful. It says heaven and earth were glorifying God. Praise God, because what God had promised had come, right? So here's my question. Ready? What are you thinking? Like, are you thinking maybe one of those promises God has given me is going to come to pass, all right? Well, if it hasn't, there's still hope for the future. If it hasn't, there's still hope. And listen, I know I've read this book here, and I know that someday everything will be perfect and we'll be in heaven. It's just great. But right now, there's still hope for the future because God has promised he'll walk you through. He'll be with you. He's not going to leave you because hope is for the future, because hope was born 2,000 years ago. Amen. Aren't you glad he arrived? Man, all right. So, you know, I think back on the last couple years, starting with the pandemic, not fun. It was bad, right? And for some of you, it was really difficult. Some of you lost loved ones. Some of you, relationships just died. Some of you got the worst report ever, right? And maybe some of you, your kids struggled through that, all right? All right? And so for some of you, you can feel still absolutely hopeless, okay? But whatever hopeless situation you feel like you're currently in, that's nothing. That's not the most hopeless situation there is. Ready? Because God said we were all far from Him. And because Jesus came, He would make us close to Him, all right? All because He arrived on the scene. Praise God. Hope was born. Hope brings peace. Hope grows us, all right? So I'm going to wrap up in a little bit, sort of. Just pulling your leg here. Just like you're right. If Jesus were to come and sit down next to you and have a conversation, what would He say? Now, I'm not saying that you get to do all the talking like a two-year-old. Hey, how come this? Why this? Or can tell me all about that. No, no, no. How about if Jesus were to come and sit down next to you, what would He say to you? Well, I came up with four of them. Number one, He would say this: I am not mad at you, and I love you. And you may be here and say, oh, you don't know my story, Pastor D. He's definitely mad at me, and there's no way He loves you. Well, there's a scripture that says that God didn't come for the goody-goody two-shoes. He came for the, oh, wow, you guys, all right, which is all of us guys, righty? So there is no one here that you are so bad that God cannot does not love you. And there's nobody here that you did whatever, 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 that He's mad at you. God loves you, and He's not mad at you. And you probably all know the scripture, John 3:16, right? Ready? I'm going to read it out of a different translation, so you all have to just kind of watch. Ready? For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son. Ready? So, how did God love us? He loved us that He gave His one and only Son for us, for mankind, that He would die for us. You talk about how much God loves us. He loves us tremendously, right? Alrighty, so the second part says, so that everyone who believes in Him, that's the Christmas story, believe, right? So everyone who believes in Him, right? If you believe in Him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And then we usually skip verse 17. Like I know verse 16, John 3:16, but listen to verse 17. God sent His Son into the world not to judge or condemn the world. That's not why He sent His Son. He sent His Son to save. Hallelujah. To save the world through Him. So, I don't know how many more hours till Christmas morning. Phew, it's creeping up, right? All right. So, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you hope again, all right? And I want you to know that God didn't give up on the world, as crazy as it is out there, and there's just horrific things going on. God still loves the world that He gave His Son. He's still, amen? One, Jesus would tell you He loves you and He's not mad at you. Two, He'd tell you He'd die for you. So I grew up in a traditional, is that a good word? Traditional church, okay? So I heard about the name of Jesus and I heard about God. But one day somebody said to me, I was about 21 years old, he said, Jesus died for you. I was like, are you serious? He died for me? Guys, He died for everyone. He died for the world, all right? So I want you to know, God's not mad at you, He loves you, and He died for you. Here's a good scripture. Of course, they're all good scriptures. Ready? Romans 5. Here we go. Romans 5:8. But God showed His great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us. Did you see that? When you were yet sinners, He died for us. All right? And verse 9, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still enemies, He will certainly save us through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in the wonderful news, new relationship we have with God, relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us a friend. Wow. When you have a relationship with God, He calls you a friend. And I've got some friends. Yeah. But that's a friend. Amen? Right? So, God's not mad at you. He loved you. And He sent His Son to die for you. All right. Number three, Jesus would tell you this. You are not too bad. All right? And really, I also have to say the second part. You're also not too good that you don't need Jesus. All right? So I can remember this like yesterday. This person, I was telling about Jesus and what Jesus had done in my life, that I asked him, found out he died for me, he wasn't mad at me, he loved me, and that I could ask him into my life, okay? And this person says, yes, but I'm too bad. And then I go, hey, listen, you're not too bad, and the rest of you that think, not you, somebody else, right? And the rest of the people that think, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, they definitely, oh man, they need Jesus. Okay, I've been around people that say that. But listen, you are not too bad to accept Jesus, and you are not too good that you don't need Jesus. And sometimes people think, yeah, but you know, I do all these good things, all right? The Bible says your good deeds will not get you to heaven. Right? So you can go serve in the soup kitchen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and come on Saturday, all right? But those good deeds you can do without Jesus and a personal relationship. And those good deeds will not get you to heaven, right? So you need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to come to the place where you admit, I need a Savior, all right? I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, all right? So there's a scripture in 1 Timothy. It's the Apostle Paul, you know, the big Apostle Paul. He's written 2/3 of the Bible, okay? And he's writing to Timothy. He had turned over this massive church to this guy he'd done life with. And he's writing these encouraging things, and they're also good for us. And he writes him, and he says this. This is a trustworthy saying. Everyone should accept it. So, hey, y'all should say yes to this, right? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them. And I go, wait a minute, this is the Apostle Paul that's writing this. What do you mean you're the worst? Well, did you know about his before days? Before Paul had an encounter with Jesus, he was running around condemning Christians, people that believed in Jesus. He was rounding them up, throwing in the jail, and then he'd stand and watch why some of them were being murdered. So he goes on to say, okay, I am the worst of all of them, all right? But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience, thank you for patience, with even the worst sinner. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life, all right? So whether you're the worst of the worst, ready, or you're here and you think, well, Pastor D, you know, I'm pretty good. I've been good to my mom and dad, and I volunteer here, and I volunteer here, and I give money to this, and I give money to that. Guess what? You still need a Savior. Right? Not because you're so good and not because you're so bad. We all need a Savior. And it says that we all need a Savior because we didn't match the standard of God. So Jesus would say, hey, I'm not mad at you. I love you. He would say, I died for you. He'd say, you're not too bad and you're not too good that you don't need a Savior. And here's my last one. And then pretty soon we're going to do the candle thing. So hang on. All righty. I shouldn't have said it that way. What's a nice way of saying the candle thing? Come on. Lighting the candles. All right. Okay. I need to drink water. All right. Sorry. I believe the last thing that Jesus would say to you is I would like to give you an invitation. So about a month ago, I got an invitation. And you have two things you could do on that invitation. Matter of fact, they mark it for you. I accept or I say no. Right? So I went, this is for a wedding, and I accepted it. I'm going to this wedding. So here, you can do two things with an invitation from Jesus. You can accept it, or you can reject it. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, all right, well, what do you need to be saved from? Well, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the earth, right? And he came for a reason. He came to save mankind. Raise your hand. You're one of them, right? Right? But because before that, right, back in the garden, if you believe the scriptures, all right, Adam and Eve sinned. And from that moment on, mankind needed a Savior. Everybody say Savior, Savior. Right? All right, so here, let me read this, Romans 3. For everyone has sinned, that's all of us. We fall short of God's glorious standard, right? So I have one more story, and I think I'm going to Smooze through some of reading it. All right, y'all know this. You know the story of Nicodemus? Raise your hand. Where are my kids? You know the story of Nicodemus? Comes to Jesus by night, slinking around at nighttime, right? And he comes to Jesus and he wants to ask him a question. But the thing about this guy is Nicodemus, he's a religious leader. He's kind of uppity in the religious world in his church and stuff like that. So anyway, he goes to Jesus and he starts the fluffy stuff. Have you ever kind of wanted to schmooze somebody? You start with all the fluffy stuff. Well, this is my interpretation. He comes to him and he says, Rabbi, schmooze, schmooze, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evident that God is with you. And Jesus just goes, forget the schmooze, and he goes right for the bullseye, and he says this, I tell you the truth. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, what? Right? What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. So, what's Jesus telling us? Hey, if you truly want to enter the kingdom of God, there's only one way. You must be born again. So what's born again? Born again is accepting a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I can't do it for you. You have to say, I accept, right? And listen, no matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter if you've been in church your entire life, no matter if you've been good or bad, you need to accept a personal Jesus into your life. And guys, you know, I think about... I probably sit down once a week to watch the news because I just think it's like, wow. Okay, and then I have one friend who she just fills me in when I miss some things, all right? But listen, it's bad out there. It's crazy out there. And I really believe this is not the time or the hour where you're just kind of not sure where you're gonna go, like where your eternity is, where your forever is. I don't think it's a good time to go, I don't know. All right? So I want to encourage you, it's very simple. Matter of fact, God made it so simple. And the hard part, Jesus did for us. The easy part is believe. Everybody say believe, right? That's the easy part. So Jesus is going to sit down with you and he's asking you this. Hey, I am not mad at you. I love you. What do they say? To the moon and back, right? I love you so much that I died for you and you are not too bad that you can't accept me, and you are not too good that you can't accept me, right? And he's going to say, I have an invitation, all right? So, can I give you all this invitation from Jesus? Ready? Right? Okay? So, one, if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, okay? And you know, the thing is, you can't rely on granny. Some of you have the best grammys and grannies. They have told you all about Jesus, but you have to personally do it yourself, all right? So if you would like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, okay, or maybe you did it and you've just kind of walked away from the Lord. You asked Jesus to be a personal Savior. You've just put him way out there, out in the cold, okay? The Bible says, listen to this, if that's what you've done, the Bible says God will never leave you or forsake you. All right? He didn't walk away from you. You may have pushed him over here, but he's there, he's ready, all righty? So I would like to pray with you, a real simple prayer, all right? And so I'm just going to ask you just to close your eyes and bow your heads, just to be reverence to God, all right? I mean, I'm usually driving and praying when I go around, but right now just bow your heads and close your eyes and let's just focus our attention, okay? Let's focus our attention on here. And you just need to say this from your heart. And we're going to say this prayer based on Romans 10, 9 and 10, which says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, if you'd like to pray this prayer, matter of fact, we're just going to all just say it out loud together, all right? No? All righty. Lord God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I repent of my sins And I ask you now to come into my heart. Jesus, I call on your name. And I thank you that I'm born again. I'm saved. Hallelujah. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new person. And I received your invitation. And my life is forever changed. Amen. All right, so eyes closed, heads bowed, just one more minute. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you prayed that and you recommitted, you just recommitted your life to the Lord. So if you prayed that for the first time, or you recommitted your life to the Lord, would you raise your hand and declare, just by raising your hand, you are declaring to heaven, I did this. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. All right, I see those hands. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, you can look up with me. Praise God. This is the best part of my job. Okay, and it means so much to me, but I want to tell you, it means more to God that you received the invitation. All right, it has changed your life forever. Righty. So if you raised your hand or you just couldn't get your hand up because you kind of chickened out, that's okay. Come and see me later after church. I have a Bible for you, right? Just going to encourage you how to keep learning about all the good things that God has for you. Now, it's the candle service. All right. So I have some people that are going to come up and help me. All right. Okay, my guys, come on up. What a bunch. All right, y'all know your places?
I believe so.
All right, hello. All right. Come on, boys. All right. 1, 2, 3. We're missing some. 4, 5. Okay. 2 here. Scott. All right. All righty. So, what happened 2,000 years ago? Hope was born. Man. And it lit the sky. The promise came. So we're going to light the candles. And while we're lighting the candles, we're going to sing. All righty? And our team, y'all, here we go. I'm just going to, all right. Here we go. Oh. One, you're off. 2. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Oh, holy night.
Oh, you got a new one.
The stars are bright.
Thank you, Scott. Yep, don't, it'll drip.
Shining, it is the night of our dear
okay.
Savior's birth.
Thank you.
Long
Thank you.
Lay the world in
Thanks
sin
to
and the soul felt its worth.
Do you have an extra one?
A thrill of hope. The weary
I forgot to give
world rejoices for yonder
oh.
breeze.
Turn the lights off.
A new
lights off.
And glorious morn.
You can turn the lights off, all of them, yeah.
Oh,
thank you. How about we stand? Come on, you guys. I blew it out.
Shall he break for the slave?
Hope was born, and it has arrived, and the kingdom has not ended, and you get to be a light where you go tomorrow and the next day. So we just say blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. We are going to blow the candles out, all right? And please stick around for goodies back there. Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you. Merry Christmas.